Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
We end tonight with the football play of the month. It was executed with amazing precision by the Eagles, the Olivet Eagles. Steve Hartman has the play and the post-game analysis on the road.
Between classes, they schemed and conspired. For weeks, the football players here at Olivet Middle School in Olivet, Michigan, secretly planned their remarkable play.
Did anybody go, this is a crazy idea?
No, everyone was in on it.
But like the coaches didn't know anything about it. So we were like going behind their back.
I've just never heard of a team coming up with a plan to not score.
It's just like to make someone's day, make someone's week, just make them happy.
The play, which was two plays actually, happened at a home game earlier this month. The first part of their plan was to try to get as close to the goal line as possible without scoring, even if it meant taking a dive on the 1 yard line, which it did. The crowd was not happy. Quarterback Parker Smith.
But us kids knew, hey, we got this. This is our time. This is Keith's time.
Keith Orr is the little kid in the brown jacket. He's learning disabled, struggles with boundaries, but in the sweetest possible way. Because of his special nature, it's no surprise that Keith embraces his fellow football players. What is surprising is how they have embraced him.
Hello.
We thought it'd be cool to do something for him.
Because we really wanted to prove that he was part of our team and he meant a lot to us.
Nothing can really explain getting a touchdown when you've never had one before.
Which brings us to part two of their play. If you didn't see Keith, it's because they were so protective of him. But he was in the middle of that rush.
And when you crossed the goal line, what was that like?
Awesome. It was like, did he just score a touchdown?
Did you do it well?
Keith's parents, Carrie and Jim, almost missed the moment. But they got the significance.
Somebody's always going to have his back from now until the day he graduates.
She's right. When the football team decides you're cool, pretty much everyone follows suit. Today, Keith is a new kid. Although by no means was he the only one who was profoundly changed.
What was it like for you?
It was like once I saw him going, I was smiling like about like here.
Wide receiver Justice Miller.
Like nothing could wipe that smile off my face.
Why did it affect you so much?
Because, like, he's never been, like, cool or popular, and he went from being, like, pretty much a nobody to making everyone's day.
Justice admits the play wasn't his idea.
I would have not really thought about that.
He says it never crossed his mind to give Keith any glory.
Well, I kind of went from being somebody like mostly care about myself and my friends, so caring about everyone and trying to make everyone's day and everyone's life.
Which may just make that touchdown the most successful football play of all time. Steve Hartman, on the road in Olivet, Michigan.
So I tell you what, if your heart is not moved at this moment, we have some medical staff in the back to check and see if you have a pulse. When I saw that, I was just overwhelmed. And wasn't that just absolutely beautiful? And so I should be able to just stand here and say, you know what, the sermon's over. Not. And it's not for a very important reason. There's much more that God has for us than just a feel-good story. There's much more that God puts upon each one of our hearts as we're called to serve and serve differently and empowered by God's Spirit. Just being good deed doers and nice to each other is a part of a philosophical stance that says humanity alone, without any emphasis on anything superstitious or supernatural, can move forward and create whatever it wants. That's all around us, and it gets mixed into our lives whether we realize it or not. There's certainly wonderful and beautiful qualities to caring for others and being nice, but God is calling us to another place. And that comes out at the end of the video also. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can bear nothing." We've given thanks for the ways that God has included us in the body of Christ, the family of God, and what that means to us to be a part of that. And now in this part of the series, we're looking at those ways that God is calling us to participate in reaching out. So we've heard that everybody encourages, everybody leads and teaches. And today we focus on that challenge upon each one of us as part of the family of God, that everybody cares. So hear God speaking to us through Ephesians, Paul's letter, chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. "So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with malice, and be kind. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." God's word for each of us here this morning. If I was to say the name Caro Wojtyla, would that mean much to any of you here? Caro Wojtyla? On October 22nd, 1978, the day I was being initiated into the fraternity of Phi Gamma Delta, Carol Wojtyla was in Rome being installed as Pope John Paul II. Profound, profound moment for this world and in his life. He was born in 1920 in Poland. Before he was 20 years old, he lost both his parents. In 1939, when the Nazis were invading Poland, he was a student at the university, and that all stopped in that moment. In fact, all the professors from that university were taken away to camps immediately. He had to scrap and do whatever he could to feed himself and his father while his father was still alive that next year and a half. During that time when the war was going on, he understood that God was calling him to something different. And so Caro Wojtyla became a part of an underground seminary where he was being trained to become a priest. When the war was over, when the Soviets came in and they brought communist rule to Poland, he was sent to Rome to continue to study as he moved forward in becoming a priest. When he was ordained, he went back to Poland and was a dynamic encourager and challenger to the people of God and the Catholic Church there at that time. They were continually being oppressed by the work of the communist rule that said and followed that humanist thought that we don't need anything superstitious, anything supernatural. We can do this ourselves. It's all about people doing it for people. And yet that government continued to oppress and push people down and make their lives much harder than they ever were before communist rule came in. Amazing, as you learn his journey in moving through the ranks as this very interesting and different guy. In fact, George Beagle writes that he was profound in his disinclination to humiliate or make a spectacle of someone else. He had an intense dislike for gossip, and his occasional tendency to project his own virtues on others, and his determination to find something good in another's actions and words sometimes got him in trouble. He wasn't perfect. He made some significant mistakes throughout his journey. But on October 22nd, 1978, when he became that pope, he spoke to the world in a different way. He spoke to the world in knowing that there needs to be something different than just humanity doing it for humanity. We are not able on our own to understand the fullness of grace and mercy and hope. In fact, you may have forgotten this, or you may not even know this, but his support of the Solidarity movement in Poland was a strong factor in the falling of that communist government that brought democracy back to that land. Incredible what he did in his life. And so the challenge upon each one of us is not just to be good deed doers and nice people, but to reflect upon what God is saying to each one of us when he says to be kind, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive one another. To be kind, to be thoughtful of someone else. I heard the story this week following the hurricane and the flooding of a family that couldn't find their grandmother that lived in North Carolina. The family was scattered all throughout the United States, far away, and they couldn't get a hold of her. Phone lines were down. She didn't have a cell phone. They called the police for a wellness visit, but they weren't able to do that because they were dealing with so many emergencies at that time. So what is it that this grandson did? He ordered a pizza. He ordered a pizza for his grandmother to be delivered to her house. And he told the Papa John's that he called, he said, can you just check and can you just let me know if she's okay? And so the pizza's delivered to the grandmother. And the delivery guy hands the cell phone to the grandmother so that she can speak to the grandson and let him know that she was okay. A beautiful act of kindness going beyond. We don't know what was going on in that delivery person's life at that moment. It's certainly a difficult situation that they're all in, but that person went beyond in kindness and reached out to this family. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. What's the difference between kind and tender-hearted? Well, when you look at the Greek, it becomes very clear because in Greek, to be tender-hearted means to be strong of bowels. Isn't that gross? I mean, you begin strong with vowels. What does that, you know, gosh, what does that even mean? So I had to dig around, and I still just got strong with vowels. You know, so I kept digging. So in the Greek, strong of bowels is your guts. In the deepest part of your guts, not just your intestines, but all your organs. That's where all your passion lives. That was the image that they have. And the Hebrews take it to the place that that is the place that resides. All that's within us that reaches out with compassion and care. That's the difference of just being kind and tender-hearted. Knowing that deepest place that it comes from. Choir just bowled us over, leading us in worship, singing that beautiful hymn about Ruth, making that pledge to Naomi, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die, and I will be buried there also. That tender-hearted connection that she had with her mother-in-law. It's beautiful. It takes us to a depth. How deep are you in your tender-heartedness? I've had to grow over the years. We celebrate 25 years of Winter Wonders. That's incredible. 25 years ago today, this very day, October 16th, 25 years ago, I spent all day in Pennsylvania Hospital. 25 years ago today. It was a long day. Patty was in labor, but it was a long day. Do you know, and he didn't even show up today. He waited until tomorrow. 1 a.m. on the 17th, and being tender-hearted and compassionate, as this little boy was there in the arms of Patty, and we remember different things, there is something good about me. She does remember that tear that dropped onto her face as I looked down at this little boy, and then I looked even closer, and I went, does it have red hair? Because, you know, we hadn't had red hair in our family in generations. It was just so shocking, so absolutely shocking. But I have become more tender-hearted over the years. I still am challenged because I know at 1 o'clock tomorrow night, I'm going to, or this morning, however we want to say this, 1 a.m. on the 17th, I'm going to call Barry. And I'm going to sing happy birthday to him and remind him. I'm not sure that's completely tender-hearted, but he has helped me learn what it means to be tender-hearted. Throughout the journey, it's apparent very much so. One of the most tender-hearted people I know is Bob Kikuyu. And if you remember Bob, he's been here, he's preached for us a few times now. He's Adam Gould's partner with EduKenya. Just the most incredible, gentle, tender-hearted person I've ever met. And so I've always been shocked by him that he got through his college career and went into a professional sport of rugby, where you have to be brutal, where he just talks about loving to pummel people and take them down. And God grabbed a hold of his heart in mighty ways. And it doesn't mean that you can't play that sport, but God grabbed a hold of his heart in mighty ways and has enabled him to see things differently. He had the perfect job being one of the pastors of one of the largest churches in Nairobi, but in that tender-heartedness, knew that he needed to go somewhere else. To those who found it hard to even travel to church on Sundays and go to church there. Something he did for 10 years. Incredible and beautiful. God is calling each one of us to be kind. God is calling each one of us to be tender-hearted. And God is calling each one of us to be forgiving of one another. On May 13th, 1981, an assassin took a gun and in St. Peter's Square shot Pope John Paul II four times. Four times. That hate and that violence erupted in Mehmet Aja's heart. And he attacked someone that was a symbol of something that he didn't like. It was a scary time. It was a difficult injury, but Pope John Paul II recovered. And in 1983, he went to Mehmet Aja's jail cell and forgave him in person. Met him in that cell, looked at him eye to eye, and forgave him. The difference that made in Aja's life is incredible. In fact, in 2005, when Pope John Paul was so frail, he wrote him a letter of thanks and of love, power of forgiveness. Not something we all naturally do. Four times this man shot him, and he forgave, because he knew that's what God wanted him to do, and he knew the difference that would make. Four times this man shot him, and he forgave, yet we hold on to that anger for a spouse, or a child, or a coworker, or a friend, and it's justified. It's justified. Or is it justified? So that's what's different about just leaning on human interpretation, human thoughts, because we're broken, broken at the core. And as much as we want to try, we need to lean into the truth that God has for us. The only way we can be fully kind, fully tender-hearted, and fully, openly, honestly forgiving other people is by leaning into the power that God has given us through the gift of His Spirit. So when I look at that video, why that video at the beginning of this was so powerful to me, it was that boy named Justice at the end. When, you know, he's just one of the guys that participated in it, he's interviewing, they're all kind of telling the story about how great that was to do that. But the quiver that comes out in his voice and his lip, and the tear that started to come down when he says, I never would have thought of doing that. Never would have thought about making a difference in that way. But now that I've seen that, I have been changed. We have been changed because of the gift of forgiveness to each one of us. We have been changed because of the joy that comes in our lives, knowing who we are, being a part of the family of God, and we are now being challenged to do something with that, to be people who encourage, people who lead and teach, and most especially, people who care. The next chapter in Ephesians, after we end with this passage, gives us this charge. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and love, live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a sweet offering and a sacrifice to God. Eugene Peterson's translation in the Message says it just a little bit differently. It says, watch what God does and do it. Watch what God does and do it. Like children, kids, who learn proper behavior from their parents. And remember, mostly what God does is loving. Mostly what God does is loving. So keep company with Him and learn to live life of love. And join me in prayer. divine spirit, Christ, make me become and remain the servant of your unique power, the servant of your sweet and caring power, the servant that knows no even time. Make